Take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's probably one of my favorite passages. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. And pray that you'd help us to live out what we read here, looking out for the interests of others and not just our own. I just thank you for how you took our punishment and our sin. And pray that you would just be with us the rest of our time here. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to read a passage from Psalm 51. Passages dealing with David. David is confessing his sin to the Lord and asking the Lord to cleanse him. And I like how David is recognizing that God is the only one who can cleanse his sin. It says here. I'll just read the chapter. It's fairly short. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the mercy, multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Like I said, I like the idea in verse 10 where it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And when you think of create, you think back to when God created the the whole world, and we think about how God is the only one who can create things, and only He can create a clean heart in us, and only He can forgive our sins. And through Jesus, we have that forgiveness when we accept the Lord and we believe in Him. And this idea of fellowship is David wanted to be on, to have fellowship with the Lord. He wanted the Lord to change his heart, and he recognized that he needed the Lord to do that. And he wanted to, in turn, he wanted to, in verse 13, he says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." And in 14, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, and the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness." And how there's a response in the relationship when we recognize what God has done and only He can do, we in turn respond to Him in gratitude. And how God wants, in verse 17 it says, what God wants is a broken and contrite heart. He wants us to humble ourselves and to turn to Him in dependence for that relationship, for that forgiveness, and knowing that only He can do make the repair in our lives that brings us back to Him. Let's pray and thank the Lord for that. Lord, we thank you for that we can come to you, and like in 1 John, and it says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive them. And Lord, we thank you that we need to depend on you for that, Lord. That it's not something that we can sort out on ourselves. That guilt will hopefully help us to turn to you, Lord. That we would recognize that our hearts are weak, and that we need to turn to you with the guilt of our sin, and that you can make it right. We just thank you for your sacrifice and how that you've made that all possible. I just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start in verse 14, talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. And it says, "For by one sacrifice he is made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, 'This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time,' says the Lord, 'I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds.' And then he adds, 'Their sin and lawless acts I will remember no more.' And where these things have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unwaveringly to the hope we profess, for we know who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more of you seeing the day approaching." So this is talking about how we can have confidence in Christ's sacrifice, that he paid for our sins once and for all. And we can live with the assurance, and not just assurance, but that we can encourage each other in good deeds and in love, and helping and encouraging each other. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your great gift and your sacrifice, that we can know that we have eternal life, but not just that, that we have a more abundant life, and that we can encourage each other and strengthen each other and just encourage each other as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's turn to Romans 5, starting at verse 6. I think this goes very well with what Corny was speaking about early. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now been reconciled. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and how you preserved it over the years. And Lord, in reading this, I just think this is like how amazing is your grace that even while we were still sinners, you came to die for us. And Lord, I just pray that as we take these emblems that, you know, we will search our hearts and just recognize the sacrifice that you gave for us. Amen.
Thank you, guys. What a privilege we have to be gathered here like this, to be able... are all significant. The one Mike just read... at just the right time, God sent his Son. You know, sometimes I'm sure the people, and we know the people in scriptures were waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah to come. But at just the right time, God makes no mistakes. He didn't then, he doesn't today. You know, at just the right time, and then also the passage that Les read out of Hebrews, you know how, I'm not quoting it word for word, but how the veil of the temple is torn and we can now boldly go to the throne of grace. Like, what a privilege. Like, that we can communicate directly with our Creator, with our Savior. I'm going to ask the guys who are helping with serving communion to come forward at this time, please.
Let's pray for the cup, remembering it. Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross for our sins, Lord, that your blood was spilt, and that none of us was deserving of that. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much that you did that for us. Lord, we thank you that we can take this time to remember that, and that you want us to do that, Lord. Help us to honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let us pray for the cup. Lord, we thank you that we can gather here this morning and remember your body, which was broken for us, and remember the blood that was shed for us, Lord. We know this was the last sacrifice that needed to be done to take away our sins forever. No more bulls or lambs or any other sacrifice had to be made, because, Lord, you took our sins and you've removed them as far as the east is from the west with the sacrifice that was done on the cross for us. Lord, we are thankful this morning that we can gather here and partake of this bread and this cup and know that your blood has covered the sins that we have committed and will commit. Lord, we thank you for this. And as we pass the cup around, may we think of you and your body and blood which was shed for us. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."